My background is I've been a management consultant for quite a few years, working with a lot of nonprofits and NGOs in different parts of the world. And the focus is on helping leaders help their organizations be more effective. And recently we were in Siem Reap, and we did a couple workshops there and visited some of the NGOs we worked with. That was in November of last year. Looking forward to come back again. And for everyone here, this PowerPoint should be on our website. Is it there yet, Bill?
It's not on the website yet, but we'll make it available, excuse me, to anyone who's interested. And we record this session. And so the recording will be on our website with the slides, and it will also be available on the website, sound only for those who'd like to just plug in their earplugs and wander around a little bit. So, Peter, tell us a little bit about effective meetings.
Like the other things we have on our website, we invite you to use this PowerPoint however you want to. You can take copies of it. You can use it in your NGO. You can use it in your church. You can take home and teach your siblings how to run effective meetings. We all spend a lot of time in meetings. I spend a lot of time in meetings. And some of the meetings I've been to ended up being just a total waste of time. And I'm sure some of you have experienced the same thing. And we can do a lot better for our NGOs than wasting our time in meetings. So we put this workshop together on effective meetings to help you help your organizations have meetings that are going to be more effective. Next, Bill, please.
Well, now I've there we
There we
go.
go. So we're going to start with essentials for an effective meeting. We'll talk about an agenda for the meeting, how important that is. Then we'll look at how you can effectively open the meeting, lead the meeting, and conclude it. And during the meeting, we'll look at the tasks we're doing, how we're doing it, and how we can take care of the people in the room. I have a few tips for effective meetings. A one-page meeting evaluation we can use, and then how we follow up on the effectiveness of our meetings. You'll notice there's a lot of structure here. And when meetings are well structured, they're much more effective than when we don't have structure. So for our meetings, we need a clear objective, and that says, what are we going to accomplish today? Our objective for tonight is to go over this effective meeting material. Then we need an agenda. An agenda needs to talk about the topics of our meeting, how long we're going to spend on each topic, and what we want the topic to do. We need the right people in attendance. If you've ever been in a meeting and wondered, what am I doing here? I don't have anything to contribute, then that was a waste of your time. We need the right size of a group. And how large a group can we have? If we're going to be a problem-solving group, maybe 10 or 12 people. We need a leader, a facilitator to help the meeting move along, and someone to take notes, a record keeper for the meeting. Bill? So, what do all meetings have in common? We have two pages of this. We have people, we have a purpose for the meeting. Every meeting has an atmosphere, and as a meeting leader, you're in charge of the atmosphere and environment for that meeting. So, what can you do to create a good meeting environment? At the very least, we need to greet people as they come to the meeting and thank them for being there. We need a physical place. Well, we used to need a physical place, but now we do Zoom meetings and team meetings, so maybe we don't need a physical place, but we need a format for the meeting, a Zoom, if it's a Zoom meeting, where people can see each other, where it's going to work. Every meeting has costs associated with it. Most of the costs are hidden costs. It's our time for being there. And when I spend an hour in a meeting, that's an hour I can't spend doing something else. Meetings have time dimensions. How are we going to spend the time in the meeting? In the next page, Bill. So jump forward one, please.
Okay, I got
Okay,
it now.
good. So continue what all meetings have in common. The pre-meeting work, what are you going to do as a leader to get ready for the meeting to help make it work? We need an agenda. We need a meeting process. Process is who is going to be doing what during the meeting. And then finally, meeting follow-up. What are you going to do after the meeting to follow up on any agreements that were made during the meeting? And a question for us to have as leaders of meetings, how are we going to manage each of these 10 things? So an effective meeting occurs. Number one, people know why they're there. Number two, everyone participates toward accomplishing the meeting objectives. Number three, we pay attention to what we're doing and how we're doing it. And finally, we follow up on agreed upon actions. Next one, please. So exercise one, we need an objective for the meeting that asks the question and answers it. What are we going to accomplish during the meeting today? So think of the last meeting you attended. Was there a written objective for that meeting? And often meetings, people don't have objectives. They just start with an agenda. So think of that last meeting and take a minute to write an objective for that meeting. What was the purpose of that meeting? What did you want to accomplish during that meeting? So go ahead and write an objective for that meeting if you would. And again, the objective for our meeting today is to review this information on effective meetings so that you can run more effective meetings. Okay, Bill, we'll jump to the next one. So prior to the meeting, the better we plan the meeting, the more effective it's going to be. So we want to answer all of our questions that start with who. Who's going to be there? What do we want them to do? When is the meeting? Where is it going to be held? Why are we all together? And invite all those and only those who have a stake in the outcome of the meeting or its actions, and those who will take an active role in the meeting. Then prepare our agenda. And I have an agenda format to show you in just a bit. Prepare the room. What supplies do we need? Do we need a flip chart? Do we need a PowerPoint projector? Do we need masking tape? Do we need markers? And set up the room in a way that's comfortable and conducive to discussion and open sharing of ideas. And then provide refreshments or lunch. One of the things to think about for your meetings, if it's a short meeting, don't have any chairs in the room. Have a stand-up meeting. If it's going to be a 10 or 15 minute meeting, have a stand-up meeting. Those stand-up meetings can be really effective use of your time. And since people are standing, it encourages them to finish the meeting quickly and to move on to other things. Next one, Bill. Here's an agenda or meeting format that I like to use for the meetings that I offer. So I have the date, place, time, who's going to be there. I make note of the supplies and materials I need. What's the objective for the meeting? And then I'm going to list the agenda items. And for each agenda item, I'm going to identify its purpose. Is it for information? Are we going to have a discussion around it? Oops, we jumped ahead one, Bill.
Me.
So information discussion, do we need a decision? And then how much time are we going to allocate for this agenda item? And if you find you have a lot of information items, I'm going to challenge you and say, Do you even have to bring those up in the meeting? If it's just for information, why don't we put it in an email or put it on a piece of paper and hand it out to people? But if it's just for information, we really don't need to take our very valuable meeting time to go over just pieces of information. And then during the meeting, often we identify action items. And when we have an action item beside it, we need to say who does what by when. So it's really clear who's going to be taking action and when they're supposed to report back. And then at the end of the meeting, have a process recap for today's meeting. Give each person 30 seconds or 20 seconds to comment on today's meeting. What worked, what didn't work, overall reactions, suggestions for improvement, and so on. If you have 10 people in the meeting, it's going to take 5 or 6 minutes to do this recap for today's meeting. But it's a good way for you as a meeting leader to get feedback on what's working and what's not working. So let me stop at this point and see if anyone has any questions so far.
I can't see the whole screen because we're sharing right now. So probably the easiest way at this point is speak up.
I have the question, Peter.
Yes.
Yes, I normally, thank you for the sharing. I normally recapped and end of the day, we sit down and for example, like finish the meeting, we reflect on what worked and what doesn't work. But sometimes people reject because they said like too tired, they don't want to involve. So what kind of motivation that we can engage everyone to share? Because sometimes work, but sometimes big event normally doesn't work at the end.
At the end of the day?
At the end of the event, or at the end of the day, some event take like a whole day, but some event take like whole morning or afternoon. So we normally sit down, not normally, we propose to sit down together and reflect all together what worked and what doesn't work or any reaction like you said. But sometimes I organize it work, but sometimes people reject because they said like too tired and exhausted, they don't want. And the next day, discuss another idea. It doesn't feel the same as when we just finished. So what kind of motivation that you put the team together?
Well, if people are tired and want to go home, I'd think about what we can do to shorten the meeting's length. And about how many people do you have in those meetings? How many people would be in the meetings?
It depends sometimes, like for my team, depend on the event, sometimes like 5 to 10, but sometimes like the big group, like for example, like the big collaboration with the partner organization. So it's not just one groups of my team, but individual groups, a few groups from different people, different NGO.
Okay. We might think about having people taking turns in the meetings for their comments. So if there are five of us and we're tired and we want to go home, maybe we only have a couple people give comments each time. So we take turns doing that. If we have a lot of people in the room, what I often do is I'll break people into smaller groups. So you have groups of three or four people and they share with each other how things went that day. So people still have a chance to give some feedback. And I'd ask each person in the room, in the group, to take notes so we can, the leader can collect those and that way get feedback from everybody, but it doesn't take as much time to do it. Those are a couple of things you might think about. And I'd also ask the group, I'd say, is this valuable time for you to be sharing this information? And if people are saying yes, it's valuable time, we just got a note, Bill, asking us to be sure to share the slide deck.
Yeah, we'll do that for sure.
Yeah. But I'd ask the group, I'd say, is it valuable for us to share this information with each other? And if people say no, then say, okay, well, what could we do differently to make it valuable for you? And so not just you as the leader taking on all the responsibility, but sharing that responsibility with the group and asking them to help you design something that's going to work better for them. And maybe people would say, what we'd really like to do is think about this, go home, and write a short note. And so, and you have a shared file probably you can use. So everyone could go to the shared file and see what people's comments were for the day. I hope that helps.
Thank you, Peter.
You're
That's
welcome.
A good idea.
Okay. Okay, next one, Bill, please. Okay. So for the meeting, start on time. And as I go to different parts of the world and work with different groups, some countries' meetings always start on time. Some countries' meetings always are late. What I tell people is, when we start on time, we're showing respect for everybody's time. And sometimes I have to make people feel a little bit guilty to start on time. But if there are six people in the room and we start 10 minutes late, that's 60 minutes of the NGO's leadership time we've wasted. So I push really hard to start on time. If we have guests, I want to introduce them. We need to have ground rules. And what are ground rules? Ground rules are the rules we have for our meeting. Like, some of the ground rules I like to have are: turn off your cell phones, turn off your electronic devices and your computers and laptops and iPads if you're not using them. Give everyone a chance to talk. Definitely start on time. Keep notes during the meeting. And so those are some of the ground rules I like to use during the meeting. Define the roles: facilitator, timekeeper, recorder, participants. A facilitator is a person who's going to help the leader move the meeting along. The timekeeper is going to tell us, well, we've used up our 5 minutes for this agenda item. Have someone taking notes, and definitely, what do we want the participants to do? Review the agenda, make sure you have time limits, state your objectives. How are we going to, if this is a decision-making meeting, how are we going to reach the decision? Are we going to vote on things? Do we want to have consensus? And then if we had action items from our meeting from last week, let's review those and see what the status is. Next one, Bill. During the meeting, create a positive atmosphere. You're all leaders, and the job of the leader is always to create a good environment in the organization. And how do you do that? I noticed when you were going, introducing yourselves in the meeting tonight, you were smiling. Smiles make such a big difference. If you're smiling when people come in the room, that makes things positive. If you're not smiling when people come in the room, that's going to put a negative atmosphere. And just think about when you're walking through Siem Reap and you're smiling. People smile back at you. And if you're not smiling, if you're frowning, people frown back at you. It creates a positive atmosphere when you're smiling. I like to use food to create a positive atmosphere. I like to have something to eat in the room. I love my coffee. I like to have coffee or tea available. Think about how can participation be maximized. If I'm sitting in a meeting and I don't say anything, that's not fair to the rest of the group. One of the things that Bill and I always do is if we have a question we want everyone to talk about, we go around the room and we ask each person to respond to the question. If we do that, people know they can't hide. And we'll have the benefit of the whole group giving us information. Use an action item and a to-do list. When we decide we're going to do something, again, make a note of it. And beside the note, say, who's going to do what by when? Use a parking lot. Bill and I like to have a flip chart page that simply says parking lot on it. And what do we park in the parking lot? Ideas that people have that don't fit today's meeting agenda, but we don't want to lose sight of. So if during the meeting someone says, why don't we apply for a grant to fund this project? Then let's write it down. It's not what we're going to talk about today, but we don't want to lose sight of it. And then if we're in a problem-solving mode, use some of our problem-solving tools. And we do have problem-solving tools like brainstorming on our website. Okay. So the parking lot. Hang it on the wall, label it parking lot. Use the parking lot to record things that can't be addressed during the meeting today. And use the parking lot items to help plan future meetings. During the meeting, you need to pay attention to the task, which is working on agenda items. And then the process. Process is, how are we doing what we're doing? How are we involving people? How are we drawing people out? How are we getting people to contribute to the meeting? How can you maintain the group? So we're going to pay attention to the needs of the people who are in the meeting, and we're going to think about what works and what's not going to work. And finally, team building. What can we do to strengthen the group and help the team be more effective? Okay. Next, Bill. Some meeting tips. Work the agenda. And I always have the agenda in writing where people can see it. And as I go through the agenda, I cross out items we've accomplished. And if people stray, I use the agenda to bring people back. Use the parking lot concept. Put a time limit on your agenda topics. Put silent members to work. Maybe I'll have a silent member record things on the flip chart for me. Manage talkative members by using the agenda to focus their attention, acknowledging their comments, writing them on a flip chart, or maybe putting them to work. Rotate all the roles. I mean, give everyone a chance to be a recorder. I've been with some groups that take turns leading the meeting. So today I lead the meeting. Tomorrow, next meeting, Bill's going to lead the meeting. And then use the effectiveness meeting questionnaire a couple pages in the future. Okay, Bill? Taking a survey to focus on a specific question. Sometimes groups get bogged down when they're discussing an issue. You can use a survey to help the group members see what others are thinking. So it starts like this. Any group member can say, I want to take a survey. When someone says, I want to take a survey, all discussion stops. The person then phrases their question so it can be answered yes or no. Go around the table in round robin fashion and have each person say yes or no. No discussion is allowed. The person requesting the survey keeps track of the votes and then summarizes the votes for the group. Now, why would we take a survey? We may think that the group is floundering around or the group needs something to help them focus their attention. So let's say the meeting we've been talking about whether or not we should apply for this grant. We've been talking about it for 20 minutes and I say, I want to take a survey. So we stop talking and I say, should we apply for this grant? I'll go around the room and ask each person yes or no, yes or no, yes or no. And then at the end I say, okay, 4 people said yes, 2 people said no. So it only took a minute or two and I was able to focus the attention of the group. Next, Bill, please. So here's a meeting effectiveness questionnaire you can use. I would not use it every week. I would use it from time to time. Was the reason for this meeting clear to me, yes or no? Did I have the information that was important to accomplish the goals of the meeting, yes or no? Were the people necessary for making the necessary decisions in attendance, yes or no? Did everyone in the group contribute to the process? Did we reach decisions using consensus? Was the atmosphere supportive of new ideas and creative solutions? Did the meeting start and end on time? Was there an agenda? Did the agenda match our meeting objectives? Did the meeting leader follow the agenda? Did the facilitator provide appropriate support for the process? Did I feel my time was used well by attending this meeting? It takes less than a minute for each person to complete this questionnaire, and it gives valuable feedback to the leader. And if you're the leader, you collect the questionnaire from the 6 or 8 or 10 people, and then you summarize it. And next week at the meeting, you say, here are the answers everyone had. Was the reason for this meeting clear to me? Everyone said yes. Did I have the information? 4 people said yes, 4 people said no, etc. So the people see what they said, and it gives you feedback for how you might design or redesign your next meeting. So I'd like you to take 1 minute and complete the questionnaire for the meeting you recently attended. So Bill, if you could go back 1 page, and everyone please complete that for a meeting you've recently attended. I'm gonna grab some water. I assume you've had a chance to complete the questionnaire. And as you look at it, I hope you had more yeses than noes as you answered this questionnaire. Next one, Bill, please. Okay, next page. Concluding the meeting. Review action items and assignments. Ask people if they have any agenda items for the next meeting and review the parking lot list. And then follow through. Review what happened. Establish the action items. Who does what by when. Summarize what was recorded. Use your meeting effectiveness questionnaire from time to time. And then review what worked, what to change for next time, and then close on a positive note. After the meeting, document reading results and distribute to participants, follow up on action items, and then plan the next meeting. Now, I know we use a lot of computers for recording things. I still like to use flip charts in meetings because it helps people focus their attention. When I have a flip chart, I like to have lined paper. The lines help me to be straight. If I don't have lined paper, I'm going all over the place. I go up and down. I use water-soluble markers like Mr. Sketch. A water-soluble marker does not bleed through the paper, so I'm not worried about getting ink from my marking pen on the wall. I print with large letters. Some flip charts are now Post-it flip charts. I assume you've seen Post-it flip charts. So all you have to do is tear off the flip chart paper and it has adhesive on it so it sticks to the wall. If I don't have that, then I'll have masking tape I can use. I don't worry about spelling. I just want to get the ideas up there. And if I really, really don't like the way my penmanship looks, I'll ask somebody else to record for me during the meeting. That's also a way to get other people involved in the meeting. Finally, our action item list. I have this in front of me as I'm going through the meeting. And when we have an item, I write it down. Who's it assigned to and what's the due date? And when we do this, our meetings are more structured and it increases the chances that we're actually going to take care of our action items. So that's the whole PowerPoint. So now we have time for any questions, if anyone has any questions or comments.
Well, Peter, I thank you. Thank you very, very much for the time and energy you put together in preparing those PowerPoint slides and for presenting it.
You're welcome.
I think it's the hallmark of a leader is a respect and a concern for other people's time and a meeting that is run effectively as you describe will take half the time or a third of the time as a ill-prepared rambling sort of meeting. So
that's so true.
It's very important that the good leader does that and practices those skills. I think that you've given us a nice framework for that. We'll have pardon me, we'll have the PowerPoints available as well as this recording edited and put up on the website. But we've got plenty of time here and would welcome any questions that anybody has for you at this point. I've stopped the screen sharing, so now I can see everyone. And so if somebody wants to raise a hand and unmute themselves, it'll be a good time for picking Peter's brain a bit.
And if I were to summarize the PowerPoint in one word, I'd say structure. Have structure for your meetings. They're going to work better.
And Peter, I would add one word to that and say it's discipline.
Same thing. Yep.
Discipline.
I agree.
I see Mark has his hand up. Mark, fire away.
Yeah, it's just a suggestion. I see very often in meetings when there are documents that they are handed out during the meeting or when they are handed out before the meeting that nobody read them. So I recommend make sure all documents are handed out before the meeting and start the meeting with 5 minutes of silence, asking everybody, please review all the documents before we start the meeting, so that people don't have to start reading when the discussion starts.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Peter, you're often quite good about that yourself by giving handouts before the meeting starts, having handouts of your PowerPoints so that they're available for taking notes as well.
Yes, definitely.
You've done a good job of that in the past. I'm quite well aware of that. Good point, Mark. can't believe Mark's the only one with a question. Pisai, you've got your hand up.
Hello again, Peter. I have a question.
Yes.
Regarding the weekly meeting effective questionnaire, so the purpose is to collect the ideas, what went well, what doesn't go well, like the checklist, right?
Yes.
So should we have, like, what other way, like if the meeting is so big, so how can we take short amount of time and then collect all the ideas from people?
How many, when you say big, how many people are you thinking of?
If for the workshop that I facilitate with the people is sometimes like 25, but some meeting for other like partner meetings, sometimes like 35 to 40 people. So how can, what effective way to collect all those at once?
There are some free computer programs that allow you to do it instantly. If each person has a laptop, you can put a question on the screen and people can immediately say yes or no, or if it's strongly agree to strongly disagree. So you can get instant feedback that way. But it requires everyone to have a laptop to do that. But for a group that large,
What about digital? I mean, like, digital is good, but some issue with some people cannot access or illiterate, like they don't use all the time, they don't have capacity to use the technology, for example.
Okay, if they can't do that, then what I've done in a large group, if I'm going to have yes or no questions, I might have different color cards, so yellow cards and white cards. A yellow card means yes, a white card means no. And so I'll phrase a question. Did you find the meeting today be a good use of your time? White card means yes, yellow card means no. And people hold up their cards, and I can count or have someone else help me count really quickly what that is. And so it's a way to get quick feedback to you without taking a long time. I know when Bill and I do classes with large groups of people, we ask for written feedback at the end of the day, what worked, what didn't work. And then at the end of the workshop, we'll take maybe 45 minutes and go around the room and ask each person to comment on the workshop, what they thought was effective, what they're going to be able to take back to their NGO. It takes a lot of time, but it ends up being a very powerful team building experience as well. But it does take time to do that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, another. Yes. Another question, because I reflect a lot on what I have been doing a lot with different groups of people, especially the difficulty with if the NGO group, we have similar, like be more easy to engage. But what about the government? I think some of my people are partner here. They know how the behavior or the attitude of the people who work at the government level. So sometimes they don't talk much, or they just like this very seriously. So sometimes the power there, and then how to manage this kind of situations like that regarding their effective next questionnaire, or how to facilitate in the groups or meeting.
Okay. I never want to embarrass anyone or cause them to lose face in my meetings. So let's say Bill Taylor's in my meetings, but he's quiet. He just sits there like this. but he always has something to say to me after the meeting. So what I do is before the meeting, I say, Bill, I'm going to call on you during the meeting today and ask you for your idea. I'm going to ask you to talk. You're always quiet during the meetings, but you have something to say to me privately after the meetings. I'd like the group to hear what you have to say. So I'm not catching them by surprise, because no one likes to be surprised in a meeting. And I'm going to make it a little bit easier for him to say something, because he knows I'm going to be asking him. And if it's someone who I'm worried is not going to be able to say what they want to say, I'll help them in advance. I'll say, okay, Bill, why don't you answer these three questions in writing? And then I'll ask you them during the meeting so the rest of the group can hear what you have to say. And again, I'll do that in private before the meeting starts, so that Bill will be prepared for the question I'm going to ask him.
We say,
thank you.
I'd like to just chip in a thought for you as well, because both Peter and I have noticed that part of the difference that we enjoy and that we experience working in Cambodia versus working in America is people are really quick to speak up in America. They're going to talk about what's on their mind. And the people in Cambodia are, in general, much more respectful, much more hesitant to challenge Peter or me about an idea. Even if they don't agree with it, they're going to be respectful and be quiet. So we have found, if we really, really want some feedback on a topic, that one effective technique is to just quickly say, why don't the three of you we're going to take 2 minutes, and the three of you have a conversation, the three of you have a conversation, the three of you over here have a conversation. Just get people in groups of three or four to talk for 1 minute or 2 minutes and say, what went well? What would you like to see differently in the future? And then talking among themselves very quickly, we'll get some feedback that we would never get by asking the entire room. And I think that those of you who have been in either whole large group workshops or in private consulting sessions with Peter and me have seen us use that technique over and over again. And somehow people are more free to speak out beside when they're talking about something that just happened in a conversation of three or four people 1 minute ago. And they can actually report it as, in our group, this is what was said. Which is different than saying, I think, my idea is. It's a more comfortable way to give feedback.
And something else that Bill and I have done is we'll ask a question, ask someone in the room to take notes, and then leave the room as the leader. So if you say you're the leader, you ask someone to take notes, you raise the question, ask the question, and then you say, I'm going to leave the room for 10 minutes or 5 minutes. I'll come back in and you can tell me what the answers are. That's kind of a scary thing to do, because you don't know what the group is going to do, but it's a way to empower your group.
That's a good idea. Thank you, Bill and Peter.
Peter and I have done that on numerous occasions with our clients here in America, where the issue is very sensitive and the team members are just reluctant, even in our culture, reluctant to speak out face to face with a leader there. And a secure leader will leave the room knowing that they'll get better feedback if they do.
Yes.
Let's see if we have one or two more questions, Peter. And we'll look at there. We're just doing fine on time. It's just approaching 11 o'clock.
Nope, yes.
We do have time for a question or two more. Lita.
Yes, Leo. I would like to have two questions for Pisa. Question number one, I'm just want to know about the meeting and workshop. Mostly considered as different, like meeting we have feedbacks, but workshop we might don't need the feedbacks after finish. So the feedback might be I mean the meeting, if you focus on the meeting, the feedback might be bad and good. And what is the solution if we found that the negative negative participants they give a feedback that is not meet to our expectation or purpose? What should we respond back to them?
Well, when I ask people for feedback as a leader, my first responsibility is to listen and take notes, and then second responsibility, tell people what they told me. So if I have 12 people and I'm asking a question, was this an effective use of your time? 8 people said yes, 4 people said no.
Yes.
First, I'm going to report that back. 8 said yes, 4 said no. And then I'm going to ask the question, what could I do to make this an effective use of your time? And if nobody says anything, then I'll give people a homework assignment. I'll say, I'd like you to send me a note. How could I make this meeting a more effective use of your time? Okay. And so then I'll get something from everybody, even those who said yes, they're going to tell me what I could do to make it more effective.
Yes. So, yes, thank you. This is a reflect to my second question, that if people are saying that effective meeting, it refers to someone who facilitate the meeting. How about I am the one who participate the meeting? How can I, what can I do if I found this meeting not effective? So yes, I think I can understand about that.
Okay. So if you're the meeting leader, and let's say it's a problem solving meeting, and you want to fully participate in the problem solving, it's helpful to have a facilitator lead the problem solving meeting. You're still the boss, you're the leader, but to have someone else lead that meeting so you can participate in the discussion and not have to worry about leading the group, keeping them on track and doing everything else, but allows you to be a participant in the meeting.
Yes, yes, Peter. Okay. Thank you. That's really, really clear.
Okay, thanks.
Who has the last question today?
Me? Bill, Peter, yeah.
I knew you'd have something to say here. Glad to hear from you.
Yeah, I would like to have a question. Basically, I'm not hosting the meeting, but I also in the meeting. But what can you do, if you are not running a meeting and someone is not really attention, into the meeting? And because you are not a meeting host, you're not hosting the meeting, but however the top management or the leader, the founder is running a meeting, and you are also in that, group of meeting, but, somehow your college is not attention. Uh-huh. So what can you do as the, also the participant? But you are not the leader.
Well, it depends a lot on the relationship you have with the other people, the status in the group. So if you are in the meeting and I'm distracting you by playing games on my computer, and I'm supposed to be paying attention to the meeting, are you comfortable saying, Peter, yeah, during the break or pass me a note, please turn off your computer. You're distracting me. You're getting in the way of the meeting. Now, if you and I have a good working relationship, we can probably do that. If we don't know each other very well, you're probably going to be reluctant to do that. So during a break or even before the meeting, if I were the meeting leader, I would like you to come to me and say, Peter, some people are paying attention and some people are not paying attention during the meeting. And again, if we have our meeting norms written down on the wall, everyone participates, everyone pays attention. You know, the leader could lead a short discussion about our meeting norms to help people get back on track. And maybe even the meeting leader will pay more attention to what people are doing or not doing during the meeting, so he or she can pull people back into the meeting.
Peter, yeah, also depending on the circumstances and how gracefully it can be said, probably easier to be said in Khmer when that's your mother tongue, or for us in English, but to say something to the effect that this topic is really, really important to me right now, and I'd like to make sure that everyone is giving us their best thinking on this topic. So maybe we could even go around the room like a survey that Peter had suggested, and just for my benefit, focus on this for a moment, and that might get somebody to pay closer attention. But it would need to be done very gracefully, particularly if it's a person that's more senior to you, or if it's a person you know very well. But find a way to do it gracefully, but openly and honestly, and
right.
Yeah. Thank you.
But I'm glad you asked that question, because it happens. And
yeah,
when Peter was talking about how it's really nice for a leader to have a facilitator in the room from time to time, and Peter and I have done that probably hundreds of times for some of our clients in America, a good facilitator will pick up on that right away and will gracefully handle that situation. But it's harder when you're the leader and you're engaged in the problem solving, not engaged in the meeting process. Great question, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
There was one more hand up. Who's that? Sokli.
Hello, Bill. This is Sonat from TDSO. I'm using my colleague's computer.
Oh, it's Nat. Now I see who's up there.
Sorry,
hiding behind a false day. Good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, hope you are doing fine. And hello, everyone in the room here. I have a little contribution, in particular regarding the question from Odon. Okay, if you are not a host, you are just the participant, and you see people in the room making noise or not paying attention.
Yeah.
This is my experience leading meetings in my workplace here at TDSO. You know, this is my rule. Nobody except for the minute taker can hold or can use their computer or their phones. So this is a hard ground rule for all staff attending my meeting.
I like it.
You're doing that. Yeah, this is very clearly communicated. Okay, so nobody else except for, again, the minute taker. Okay, so by doing that, I can capture their attention. And also I, you know, make my meeting a bit more interactive. In other words, when we discuss a particular thing, I normally give the floor to the participants to share. Okay, let's say case number one, this is the problem, or this is this and that. So what do you have? What what is your say in this respect, in this particular respect? Okay, so number one is the ground rule for not using any electronic devices. You just simply pay attention. And the second one is strengthening or making your meeting organization more interactive. And yes, last thing is the follow-up. So I have a minute taker, I call mom, minute, okay, of the meeting. So the mom must be released latest 24 hours and within 24 hours. But mostly my colleagues, okay, release the meeting minutes, say soon or shortly after the meeting. And I communicate the information to the team very clearly already. I may, after 1 or 2 days, I can choose somebody in the group to, okay, repeat or to summarize this particular minute taken from the meeting. Okay, so again, it's about the rule and about the organization and about the follow-up policy or mechanism. So when I, you know, happen to see somebody who may be at best a little, you know, a bit relaxing in my meeting, paying less attention. So it's in my mind, it's in my note already. Maybe after 1 or 2 days of the meeting, I will go back to him, point his name. Hey, can you interpret this particular action point? What, you know, we need from him or her, something like that. Just it is my contribution. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, you mentioned having your code of conduct, your meeting norms. Yeah, no electronic devices. I like that.
Well, Peter, we're very very much appreciative of the time and energy you put into making this presentation this morning. And I think you can tell by the nature of all the questions you got that you engage these people very, very well.
And Bill, my colleague Vanessa Nguyen promised that she would be happy to do a workshop on how you write SMART goals. So in the future, when you have an opening, she's ready to step in and do that.
Okay, well, and so Paul is here, and a couple of people from the steering committee for the CLLC are in the room. So that's a good announcement. So she would on how to write SMART goals.
Yes.
Good. Okay, that gives us a topic the next time we need a topic. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I am going to stop the recording now. Let me find that right button.